You are listening to episode number 103 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
No, you're not. It's 102. He's lying. Don't listen to him. He's lying.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 103rd edition of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. First and foremost, thank you for all your well wishes about my injury back last week. I am fully 100%. You know, sometimes you can only pick the oranges so fast, and I gotta slow it down a little bit. And mowing the lawns is hurting my back too. So,
didn't you have to give up that corner spot for a while too?
Yeah,
I had to hunt the guy down to get it back.
Fucking Raul took it from me. Anyways, I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. Iggy, as always. Joining me, the man with the Boston Red Sox sucking ass, Brian. Brian, welcome to the show.
Celtics are doing good, though.
Yeah, they're going to get swept.
Fuck Miami.
And joining us from New York City. Joining us from New York City, Taser, welcome to the show.
Damn you, Knicks! Although that was kind of expected, but damn you, Rangers! Sons of God! Wait till next year! Wait till next year!
All right. Well, in case this is your first time listening, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, whether that's comics, movies, video games, TV shows, and maybe eventually sometime down the future, porn again.
Woo!
One thing I didn't include in that list is marriage. And, of course, this past Tuesday, we were led to believe that Astonishing X-Men number 50, which, by the way, I can't believe that book's made it to 50 issues, even though, to me, it's been dead since issue 24. So it turns out that Marvel put out a press release, and it was covered on The View, which I thought was hysterical, by the way. that's how you know it's true when Whoopi Goldberg talks about it. Turns out, longtime homosexual gay man Northstar will be getting hitched in Astonishing X-Men number 51 with his, I don't know if it's longtime boyfriend, but current boyfriend. Basically,
since Omega Flight, basically.
Since Omega Flight, this is huge because this is the first gay wedding ever in comics. At least in mainstream comics.
No, just in Marvel, in Archie.
That's right. Okay, first of the big two superheroes books.
It's an interracial gay couple burning the American flag.
Right. Yeah, really interracial, because he's a mutant, and he's the other one's black.
There you go. Not even a black and white thing. It's a mutant black thing.
Yeah, Northstar has 20 ears. Like, what's going on there?
So, it basically... It's
actually Namor.
The proposal itself happened in Astonishing X-Men number 50, and the actual
Namor
wedding...
Namor has a jungle fever.
The actual wedding will be in Astonishing X-Men number 51. So, obviously, gay rights is a huge issue. It's been a huge issue for several years now. More and more states... did New York City recently... passed a law that said you can gays have the right to get married and entitled to all the rights, because that's really what it's all about, is rights, not necessarily the status. So yeah, good for Northstar. Has he always been gay? Was he created as a gay character, or did he come out?
No, he came out. He came out in like the early 90s before I dropped Marvel in Alpha Flight. And if I remember correctly, it had to do with a Canadian guy who was the son of a superhero who came out with AIDS, and that kind of forced Northstar to come out and stand.
Which at the time, AIDS was like, you get AIDS, you're dead, basically.
Yeah,
at least at that time.
Him showing support also made him come out and say, "And I'm gay," which. I kind of went, well, I was reading the book.
And
anyway.
Fabulous.
So North Star's
you know what? I like this because it shows that you can legally be a butt pirate and get booty. Oh!
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Okay.
So, of course, the distinguished competition announcing a certain Green Lantern to be gay, apparently.
Two snaps.
Does he Sophia my might? Anyways, so I mean this.
Or it
this,
might
this,
be a Scarlet Speedster, a younger Scarlet Speedster.
Oh, it's been confirmed. It's the Green Lantern guy.
It's the Green.
What
it's
has
the,
been?
Yeah. It's okay. The GL. So
although
so
not to say he won't put the moves on the Scarlet Speedster.
So what do y'all? I mean, obviously Taser. I mean, I wish Arnold.
I
was
like
there.
Gay people.
There you go.
I like none of you us, and I, don't I? I yeah. like A-Train. I even like Johnny V. I like gay people. They fight me the things. And they show me how to dress. And they don't hit on chicks, which gives me a shot. Let me stop. No, you know what? Before I continue, I just want to say this. Fuck 1 million moms. Fuck all of you.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that was
you're
horrible.
A bunch of assholes.
That was horrible.
Bitches and hoes.
This is going to take in corrupt. Did you? Yeah.
Fuck
you. Know
you.
What? I'm going to get X-rated right now.
How
suck
long has the Punisher
dick.
Been in the rack for? Really?
I mean, I'm a Christian. What they said offended me, and that's not easy because I'm a very laid-back person, but really, you ladies, take it up the ass, right? From a big black man. Like me. No, but I have no problem with this because what does it affect? Nothing. It doesn't make him a better hero, and you know it's not gonna take and you know have kids going, oh, I want a boyfriend, or anything else like that. It's a character whose personal story is progressing, and we get to see him be happy because we know that most heroes in the Marvel Universe don't get to be happy for a long time. They have one moment of happiness and then about 5 to 10 years of shit going bad. And I guarantee you, at some point, North Star is going to get put on now. Hey, we have to fuck with this guy. And he just got married. I give him 7 years of being outside of that let's screw with him before they kill off Kyle. Because, you know, even though he's prominent because he's gay, he's also a sideline character. Because, I mean, when you think X-Men, do you think North Star? No. Let's be real here. So, he may be married and happy now, but Kyle will be a corpse. I'm saying it. Kyle will be a corpse in 10 years. Just watch. Or
this time Kyle winds up in the fridge. Oh!
Gus Malone's not going to be happy. No, Gus Malone won't give a shit because it's a man on man, not a woman.
Okay, so he'll be in the oven. Big deal. He's going to get stuffed in the oven. Oh! Stuffed in the oven. Anyway.
All right.
No, no power to him. This doesn't affect anything. You people that have a problem with it should really take a hard look in the mirror at yourself. Have issues. There you go.
Brian, what about you? Are you happy for North Star's marriage?
I have a philosophy about this, and it applies to comic books as well. And I believe it was a comedian. I forget who it was, but I believe he said, if gays want to get married to be miserable like the rest of us, just let them. And I personally think that's a pretty decent way to go. Because really, who the hell cares? They're people. Odds are they'll be better parents than any of these fucking moms who are like, it's corrupting them and whatever. 9 out of 10, you know what, I really just let them get married, okay? And as far as this one in the comic books goes, I think it's a good gesture of support and symbolism in a larger medium. So I think it's a good thing that it's going through. I personally do not care about North Star whatsoever. I prefer his hot, crazy sister. She's my preference. And to just touch upon something that Arnold said, there was a special variant cover release featuring like Marvel marriages and stuff, of which I think only like 2 or 3 even still exist out of like 10. So maybe they'll have a better shot at making it last, these two. Because, you know, men and women apparently don't have that much luck in the Marvel Universe as far as marriages go. Same thing could be said for the Distinguished Competition. But I think the larger meaning is important. The, hey, gay people can get married in our comics now, is not that much. Because as I've said multiple times now, I personally believe this is just a race to see who can exploit gay people first, really. DC, for making a certain Green Lantern a homosexual, or Marvel for doing a big gay wedding. A big fat gay wedding. As far as this goes, the symbolism, I'll take that over the monetary reasons any day. I'm just going to be like, that doesn't matter. I'm just focusing on the whole message they're trying to send, which is a good one. You know, it's one of acceptance, of tolerance, of, you know, hey, two happy, relatively well-adjusted people can get married, and it's the world didn't explode or something, you know? God didn't rain fire down on us, so I think it's a step in the right direction, and so I give my seal of approval for this marriage, and I also give it 3 years.
Nice. I mean, this is great. You're right. 1 million moms. I'm not going to... Taser said everything needed to be said, but...
Yes.
This is great. This is progressive. And it's not like they made a character who wasn't gay, become gay, and then become married. They're not doing that. Northstar has been gay for almost 20 years now. He's been known as the gay character. In fact, Wolverine killed him, I think, at one point. I don't know why I'm bringing that up. I don't know why I'm bringing that up. Why am I bringing something so awful? But, I mean, this is good. You know... And
he had the hots for Iceman at one point.
Yeah.
Ask the mountain shit.
And the whole thing is, like, superheroes, comic books are boys only, male, heterosexual, maybe. I'm not saying they will, because this is going to get maybe a little bit of bump in sales, because that's obviously, you put it on The View because you want people to go buy the book. You know, maybe this will give somebody, a person who's gay. Granted, there's not going to be a Northstar ongoing, but maybe Northstar is going to be featured more in Astonishing X-Men, and they'll be more inclined to read that book. Or maybe X-Factor. Isn't Shatterstar gay? Isn't he in that book? Yeah.
He likes Richter.
Yeah, so there you go. There's two X... Well, the X-books are the progressive ones of all the things.
Well, they have to be. They're the ones who have been tolerant since, like, the fucking 60s. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this is good. This is good. If you're against this, you're just evil. So let's move on, because I don't like evil, to something really, really hot, and it turns out, while we've seen a movie about Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, the Hulk, Spider-Man, the X-Men, Punisher, Blade, give me any other Marvel movies I'm missing?
No, you pretty much covered them all.
Okay.
All the important ones.
Notice how I've said man or men... At the end of all of them, basically.
There's one demographic missing from this.
Yes, and it turns out that Joe Quesada has, was it Red, Brian? Or is he?
No, Quesada was, he was, I believe he was an interview or a panel where he had mentioned that a Ms. Marvel script had been completed and now they're going to start moving into a casting phase.
Okay, which... For Ms. Marvel, she's obviously in the Avengers cartoon right now. Well, I think it's on reruns until the new episodes start rolling out. But, you know, Carol Danvers, Ms. Marvel, Warbird, Binary, whatever you want to call her, she's one of my favorite characters. I love her. I love her type A personality. And, of course, she has that new ongoing coming out in 2 months, less than two
yes.
months now. So if they could get a Marvel movie centered about a female character... And why not Ms. Marvel be the name? I mean, one, she her name is synonymous with the company. Two, you know, she's herself a fantastic character. Plus, her costume's awesome. So, I don't know who I would pick to cast as her. It's very I can't think of any. You know, the stereotypical thing is the chick from Smallville played Supergirl, something Laura Vanderroot. Although she's too skinny, and to me Carol has to be like not super skinny. She has to have like meat on her bones.
She has to be able to stand on her own as a character.
No. Like physically, she has to look.
No, I know, but I mean that as well. She has to be able to stand.
Laura Vander, well, she's amazingly beautiful. She looks like a twig sometimes. So
now, my requirement would be, she has to be mature, you know?
I that too.
Think, I don't look at Laura Vandersloot or whatever her name is, and I think self...
Canadian.
Self,
and she works on the Ms. Marvel and Carol works for the Air Force.
Self-realized and I want to say worldly, but that's not quite the right term. Woman, you know? She's
not a girl.
Nah, I'm not gonna say that, but she doesn't look like Carol Danvers. Carol Danvers, when you look at her, it's like, yeah, that woman is her. She's herself.
I would let her be a lot of people.
Are still trying to figure themselves out and their place in the world. That's not Carol Danvers, you know.
Well, she's a military woman.
This well, not now.
No,
there
but
was a questionable
even
point
more
when
so
she
than
her
that,
kid.
She's been around for a while. You know, I mean, you know, Warbird and Binary and, you know,
yeah.
in the military and Captain Marvel. And I mean, not Captain Marvel, but Ms. Marvel and all of that shit. All of that shit, you see where she is right now. Yeah, you'd need somebody, you know, if we were talking, let's say, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I could see Sharon Stone. I could actually see Sharon Stone, but... Sharon Stone's a little older than I'd want to make it, you know. Somebody who's not self-absorbed but very self-assured.
She's confident, and, but
exactly,
arrogant,
you know. And not somebody who's like girly or whatever the fuck, and somebody's gonna worry about their hair or any of that bullshit that, you know, people seem to think, you know...
I just got my nails painted!
You know?
You basically don't want Sailor Moon. Just say that.
Now, I could go on a rant about Sailor Moon, but I'm not...
Let's move on, gentlemen.
But no, I see... Like, all right, I wouldn't see the chick that they picked to play Elektra. I don't see her.
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no.
And
that movie
not,
doesn't
not
exist.
Of the physical aspect, but just because... general type of personality, I don't think she might be able to act it, but I don't see it when I look at her. You know, that's my point. You would need, you definitely need somebody. Okay.
You want the Christopher Reeve, that's fucking Superman effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is hard to do, granted, but...
Right? But, I mean, look, you could do that with, they did it with Christopher Reeve, they did it with Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That, when you looked at him and went like, bam! Oh, even Professor X, you know,
mm-hmm.
Let's be real here. Patrick Stewart nailed it.
Yep.
So there's an actor out there. I'd just be damned right now to think of it. But
it'll probably be some unknown or either a up-and-coming actress who has.
They're not going to pick an unknown. Not for her. When was the last time they picked an unknown for a superhero role?
Chris Hemsworth?
The only role he had before that was Star Trek, Captain Kirk's dad in Star Trek, the reboot. Pretty much, yeah.
No, actually, he was in, what was that movie in, Ryan Reynolds and Common.
He was in that movie?
Smoking Aces?
Yes.
That was like one movie. I didn't even know he was in that movie.
No, he was not in that movie. He was not in that movie.
He was one of those guys. What was it? The guy who? Oh no, Chris Hemsworth. I'm thinking of the guy who played in the latest Trek. He was in that movie. Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Pine.
Yeah. Chris Pine. Thank you. Chris Pine
But Chris Pine was in it too. But he was Kirk's dad, the one who went down with the ship.
Yeah, at the very beginning of the movie.
Okay.
Natalie Portman. Is that Natalie Portman, right?
No, that Jennifer Morrison.
There you go. That's who that was.
Yeah. What? And Alicia Keys, too. Can't forget her. However, you've got Chris Hemsworth, and then you look further back, and then you got, what's his name?
Ooh, Jennifer Morrison.
Who's that?
Her for Ms. Marvel?
Maybe.
Again, who's that?
You ever seen House? Cameron?
Don't watch it.
You ever seen Once Upon a Time on ABC?
She's a TV actress. She's actually would not mind that. From when I'm in love with her. Two, she's played a blonde. She actually looks good blonde.
She's very self-assured.
Yeah.
Got done playing a bounty hunter who turned into a sheriff. It was awesome.
Her whole role in House is basically bumping up again. Like, she knows what she has to do and bumping heads with House all the time.
Check it out sometime, Kaser. I think you'll come around to agree with us. Maybe not, but check it out sometime.
So is our official vote for, except for Taser, our official
mine
vote
is for Jennifer Morrison. Yes.
Okay, I'm seeing her. She doesn't look too bad. I could probably buy it. I think I could buy it.
All right, so any more thoughts about Ms. Marvel, guys?
Just one for me.
Yes.
This is actually a good way. I actually don't know where the property rights lie, but if they still are with Marvel, this could be a good way to introduce the Kree to the Marvel Cinematic Universe without going through the whole rigmarole of the Inhumans or, you know, the
you don't
Kree
need the Inhumans
scroll.
To introduce the...
No, I know.
I think the Fox only has the FF and Doom. I don't think that means they have their villains.
Well, I just didn't know if they did, because I think Fox was going to put forth an Inhumans project at one point, but I don't know if that fell through or what happened with that, but I just didn't know if the Kree rights extended to Marvel because of the Inhumans or something like that. So that was, but if not, this could be a good way to introduce them as a player, since we already have the Chitauri out there, you know. Hey, we have the Kree now.
And you know what? To interject one more time, I would call her movie Captain Marvel.
Exactly. Don't put the Miss in front of it. Do Captain.
Yes. Call it Captain Marvel.
Make. Well,
no,
so would you make her?
For them not to do it.
Would you make her Captain Marvel then?
Yes.
Okay.
I have no problem with her being Captain Marvel. Considering the book is coming out soon, so.
Yeah.
Know?
Why not? Why not? I'm all favor. No, I love Miss Marvel. I love Carol Danvers. I love her.
But you know what I would do though? I would keep her origin mostly the same. And have the name passed on to her. But I would still, she would still end up...
Her predecessor was Mar-Vell, and she...
What happened?
You want to make, like, her predecessor was Mar-Vell, who died kind of, like, off-screen or some shit
like
that?
He was Captain Mar-Vell, you know? And right. He, you know, do some type of dialogue-y thing where...
Yeah, you know what that means, though? All the Mar-Vell peers are going to be pissed for just him going out like that. But whatever.
Fuck them. Those be distracted by boobies.
This isn't the 616 movieverse anyway. This is more ultimate than
616. No, you're right, but I'm saying that's what would happen, though. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, fuck but not, let's be real here. It's movies, so, you know, they can tweak shit. They're going to tweak shit anyway.
Yeah, if they made a Captain Marvel movie starring Carol Danvers with Jennifer Morrison, that'd be awesome. I would totally
I would go see that movie twice.
Yes. All right, well, let's move on to the final bit of news. Brian, what is it?
Yes. Well, recently, this is a rumor, mind you all, a rumor surfaced that the Enchantress, also known as Amora, could be the possible sort of antagonist for the new Thor 2 movie. Now, while that in itself does not make for epic news, what does is that it relates her story back to Scourge and Walt Simonson's run on Thor.
The Executioner Scourge.
Yes, the Executioner's Final Stand, which could prove to be an epic story being made into Thor, the sequel.
Now, before anybody speak, Taser, I've read the story, Brian has read the story, but educate the people of Walt Simonson and the Last Stand of the Executioner.
Probably, well, for personally, top three story of all time in comics. All right, what you want me to tell them the story?
Well, just your feelings and how epic this story could be. Not necessarily. Don't spoil. I mean, it's called The Last Stand of the Executioner, so it kind of gives it away. But just why you think it's so good and worthy.
Well, I mean, this is just one part of that whole run, you know? But for that one story there, for Simonson to take a guy who was such a, you know, despicable character, you know, unlikable, and yeah, he was the bad guy, but, you know, a real tool, I never thought much. He was there. Hey, Thor, beat on this guy. Thank you. All right, it's done. You know? And to see him look at Enchantress and figure they're not going to get out and this needs to get done. Screw it, you know? And the Thunder God's got to get out of here, and I got, what was it, that the Acer were with them? And the line has to be held. So fuck it. I'm the one that's there to do it. And those military guys. I forgot he had a couple of soldiers there with him. So for a man like he had been through most of his existence to come to that decision and to make that stand and sacrifice his life for people that he had mostly been against and for a woman who basically used them 9.99 times out of 10. That's just fucking gorgeous storytelling. That's how you want a character to go. You know, not some, well, we need to get rid of a character, him. You know, like fucking Nightcrawler. Which you could just see that on the fucking wall. Scourge's exit from life is heroism. The man died a hero. You know, that to say that it affected Thor, aside from, you know, to say that it affected Thor and to see how Thor went and almost bitch-slapped Amora because of the way she acted over his sacrifice. This is a story that must be read. You know, I don't care if you're into DC or Marvel or anti-Marvel or you've never touched Marvel or I only read Dark Horse and Image or I only read Vertigo. Fuck you. This is storytelling. That's heroism. That is how... Oh, I'm not going to say that's how I hope to die one day because I fuck all of that.
Oh, God.
If I had to tell my child a story, you know, that was about a man making a decision and standing by it, I would leech from that. Because, God damn it, I can't help but respect Walt Simonson for giving him that kind of respect on his exit. That's it right there. Epic storytelling.
So, Brian, do you have anything to add?
While I have not personally read the story, and I will rectify them as he gets. I will rectify it after that epic speech Taser just made. I will go and I will pick up Walt Simonson's run now. I have heard the legend of how great this story was nonetheless, and I know that in my heart, were they to do it justice, it would be epic to see on the screen if they don't 300 it up, you know, added like cheesy shit in there.
Just read that one story. You have to read the storyline. You know, you really have.
I might just go just pick up the visionary line for Walt Simonson. You know, pick up his Thor shit.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, I would totally back this to see Scourge go down like a man fighting.
And of course, Scourge, the executioner, very, you know, he's very known with the Antrachus. Thor 2, coming to theaters next year. I think, is it next year?
I think it's 2013, yes.
Yeah, so, wow, damn.
You know, if I had to give it a movie moment, you two guys saw Return of the King, right?
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Remember when they're standing there at the gates of Mordor?
Mm-hmm.
And fucking Viggo Mortensen, he turns and he looks back and he goes...
For Frodo.
And they all fucking charge? You know how... The hair on your chest and your balls stood up?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah! That was it right there. That's how that made you feel. Thank you, Walt Simonson.
Alright, well, thank you for that speech, Taser.
This is turning into a Walt Simonson love pest over here, the Mighty
Warriors.
The
dude deserves it.
You could have my child.
Mm-hmm.
The man's a legend for a reason. He
earned it.
Yep. Legends don't become legends just because people say they're legends. They earn it over time.
Obama. He didn't earn it. I'm saying it. I'm a black man. He didn't earn it.
All right. Well, let's...
He didn't earn it.
He took my job.
Let's move on. No book of the week again this week because there was nothing worthy for he so to be worthy.
Like a fifth week.
Yeah. You know what? No. I like the fifth week. It makes me buying comics less expensive sometimes.
It does.
So let's go right into individual reviews, and I am taking The Invincible Iron Man, number 517, The Long Way Down, Part 2. Basically, here's where we are. Tony Stark has resigned as Iron Man. He's had the stuff that makes him Iron Man, the new stuff, pulled out of him by by Reed Richards. Ezekiel Stane has removed the bomb that the Mandarin had put in him. Mandarin's continues to plot. And Detroit Steel is losing his shit ever since being brought back to life because of Odin in Fear Itself 7.3. He's not all there. And we see the first new Iron Man armor in action. And apparently Rhodey, I don't think he's the permanent pilot, but he's the pilot, and he's fighting Firepower. So, and Tony Stark has a plan to take down all these sons of bitches who fucked him over. This is building towards Matt Fraction's grand finale, I'm assuming, of his run, confrontation with the Mandarin and his new and Tony Stark's new Iron Man suit, because, you know, as every the great thing about Iron Man, he's always going to have a new armor, given the situation, because of his genius. It was very good, and Salvador La Roca, there were some panels where he did a completely different style, where it was still digital, but it looks like he drew it and then added something to it, but it looked interesting. I like how the new armor looks. It looks sort of it's like a black suit. I guess the joke is like Tron, but not Tron.
It's Tron.
It kind of does, but I didn't mind it. You know, how to describe it? It has like a goldish outlinings like on his arms and goldish boots, but like black suit with like where the repulsor arms would be, where the repulsor stuff would be. It's like blue outlining, sort of like a Tron suit in a way. This was a solid issue. 3 out of 5. Didn't really progress the story. Oh, and Spy Smasher is killing everybody in Stark Resilient. Spy Smasher was the mole that revealed that Tony Stark was drunk during Fear Itself. Last issue, he killed his lover, the guy he was sleeping with while undercover. Now he's killing everybody else in Stark Resilient, or trying to, and Bethany Cabe is stopping him. So it's wrapping up the action, that's for sure, and I love this book. I'm so glad I didn't drop it when I had the opportunity to. So, read Invincible Iron Man, damn it. Brian.
Yes.
Deadpool. Ah, yes. Does Deadpool really look like Ryan Reynolds?
He's sexy and he knows it. No, he doesn't. He's blonde-haired, blue-eyed, all-American boy. Canadian, actually. My mistake.
He's Hugh Jackman.
Isn't Ryan Reynolds a Canadian?
Yes, he is.
But he's got blonde hair and blue-eyed, though. That's
no. Yeah. This, no. Like he's literally. He's like blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Aryan. Like. Anyway. So the story picks up after the Dead story arc, where Deadpool therein lost his cancer, and by that effect, to that effect, he lost his healing factor as well. So he's effectively mortal and sexy as hell. So, feeling, you know, having his confidence boosted and feeling pretty damn good about himself, he decides to go kill some people that would actually help the world. You know, killing this person would make the world better. He wants to help everybody out. So who does he decide to go after? The Intelligentsia. Yeah.
You mean like the leader and all those guys?
Leader is actually not in this incarnate. This one taken over by MODOK.
Oh, okay.
But MODOK is there, Claw, the Red Ghost is in there. Also Trapster. That he's not as important, but it comes back later.
Is the Wizard there?
Yes, the Wizard is in there as well.
Awesome.
Essentially what ends up happening is Deadpool barges in on where they're holding their meeting, which is on a boat. I'm on a boat. And he detonates it and sends it to sink. And the only person who makes it out in time to fight him is the Trapster, whom the Intelligentsia was just, you know, recently like, of course we can count on you because you don't do shit anyway. He goes, he takes on Deadpool pretty much head on and successfully wounds Deadpool so that he floats away. And now he's kind of just, like, drifting out at sea, unsure of what to do now that, you know, he can be wounded and shit, and he's hurt. And so the Intelligentsia knows that he's after them for some reason, and now they're after him. And so it's becoming a new game of cat and mouse Deadpool who doesn't have his healing factor anymore. As far as the whole impact of him having lost his healing factor goes, it doesn't really impact the story in the beginning. It becomes more relevant in the end when the shots start flying, but in the beginning, it doesn't really impact his character whatsoever, because he's still crazy. He still has the voices in his head and shit, and he makes his jokes and stuff, so, you know, it's not like he's a completely different person now. It's not like he's sane. He's still off his fucking rocker, but the difference is now he can lose it all. And so after having found new meaning in life by Bob of Agent Hydra, no less, he's out trying to make the world a better place, and in the first mission, it gets fucked up because he doesn't have his healing factor. And so he realizes he can't be as reckless as he was, and now he's got to be careful because, you know, hey, we can't regenerate anything. So he's trying to fight his way out, make his way in the world, make it a better place, all while facing down a new kind of mortality. Daniel Way, still delivering relevant, competent writing. I'm still waiting to see where the story leads because, like I said, the whole changeover hasn't really hit him yet so much as the final climax of the story, which didn't really last that long. But regardless, I'm waiting to see how that pays off. I think that there was an artist changeover from last time, new guy, Sean Crystal. His art is, it's good. You know, it's not any better or worse than the last artist, so I'll give him credit. He holds on well. And so now it's pretty good. We'll see where it pans out from here, but I give it a 3.5 out of 5.
And next, finally, Taser, you wanted to talk about how ultimately disappointing Amazing Spider-Man has been.
Yeah, basically, the whole Ends of the Earth storyline with Dr. Octopus and his effort to leave his mark in the world because he's dying, so I have to do something. I have to beat the spider and stuff. You know, Parker's all, it's Dr. Octopus. You guys don't understand. He's gone way overboard. I don't know what he's capable of doing now. I have to make a new piece of armor because I need all the extra help. Avengers, help me! Yeah, Avengers get taken out in their first outing.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, it's Spider-Man and two chicks. Of course, these chicks being Silver Sable and Black Widow, so you know, we have two highly capable chicks, and Spider-Man left playing catch-up through most of the book. And then needing to, you know, send out a call to arms to any and all hero who will answer. And apparently only, like, what, three individuals and one team? kind of sad there. You know?
Oh, my God. I think it's like the Great Lakes Avengers, isn't it? It is. Fucking.
You know? And then to get to where, what was it, the latest issue, 686, and then to have, and I should have expected this, but we ended up with the Tony Stark Armor Wars moment. Wait a minute. He did this to Cap, and that was based on my tech design, and he did this. Based on my tech design, he did that. Based on my... Oh, my God! This is all my fault!
Oh, God. Emo Spidey.
And to top it all off, I don't care. I really don't care. Nothing has made me care about, will Doc Ock pull it off? You know? Will the world reject Spider-Man? Well, we actually saw that, you know, most of the people are... People in the Marvel Universe are just fucking idiots, you know.
Seconded.
If a person comes to you and they go, hey, I can cure cancer. So? Oh, yeah? Well, how about I give you cancer and then cure it?
Mutants!
You can do that? You're awesome! Because that's basically what happened. Shit. You know... And to see the way public opinion just kind of flip-flop, like Obama, on the whole issue of, hey, the math really works. Ooh, hey, Doc Octopus, you're number one. You're aces. And, you know, wow. I don't think even I could have written this lame a story.
You would have to be mentally retarded to write that.
There's no real depth to this story. Everything about Ends of the Earth has been Spider-Man doing a worldly jaunt, trying to chase after and stop Octopus from scorching the planet. And him and you know, the other two are the only ones who really know. Everybody else has been taken in somehow by the math. Do the math, it works. And and nobody's asked, but why did he, you know, pimp smack us before? If you were doing this as an act of altruism, then there'd be no need for you to do that. So therefore, nobody's asked that question. Nobody's come forward like that. Meanwhile, Parker's, you know, back to going, I gotta stop Doc Ock. You don't understand. He's really lost it. I'm trying to figure him out. Oh, no! And I gotta be honest, the only reason why I picked up this storyline is, A, alright, Doc Octopus is supposed to be dying. Fine. At the end of this, if he croaks, I want to see it. B, I like the look of the costume. I was far, far less impressed with what it could do. Far, far, far less with what it could do. I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. Tech suit made by Peter Parker, who's a genius. And it looks like it can take a hit. This has got to be something. No. It's not. Far from it. And on top of everything, they killed off, like, what, one of three Jewish heroes? They popped Sabra?
Jewish heroes? What the fuck?
Well, she's Israeli. She's a Jew.
Oh.
And actually a pretty cool character, although the way I saw her here, I didn't realize. Apparently she must have lost her powers or something, because the Sabra I know could go toe-to-toe with the Hulk for a bit, which means she could take a hit, and she, you know, tough skin. And the Sabra here, oh, look, headshot by fucking Crossbones. He won the game. You know, yay, thumbs up to Union Jack for him getting his job done. And was it Hero Team 6? I don't know much about them. I can't talk about them, but I'm bored with them. This story has nothing for me. I'm left there going, yeah, and okay, yeah, and oh look, yeah, this isn't real, yeah, and the villains fight, you know. I'll say this, Mysterio is funny. Mysterio is really funny,
but like unintentionally so, or just
no, Spider-Man convinces him to join sides by like pitching him a movie, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, but he also made common sense. He said, "What good is it if you have $2 billion and your money's burnt up?"
Yeah, he's like, "Sinister Six, make it 7. I'll kill you." I was just kidding.
Yeah,
which I thought was funny.
But what got me was, as intelligent as Mysterio is, and the man's intelligent even though he's a fucking villain, he didn't see that coming. I mean, if Doc actually carries through with his plan, what good is it having $2 billion on a fucking scorched planet? Did none of them think about this? So, yeah.
Well, like I said, and I'm not defending him when I say this slot, and this is why I dropped him for that long period of time. He really writes that Silver Age-y, simple plot, simple story. That's what he writes. That's what he likes, and he thinks other people like it. And because he's on Amazing Spider-Man, the book's not in danger of getting canceled. He pulled that shit on She-Hulk. There's a reason why that book wasn't around for so long.
Well, I'll say this. I don't have a problem with simple, because simple can work. But, you know, when you start talking simple Simon, yeah, that's a whole other thing. And that's where we're at. You know, again, he gets us to the point where fucking Spidey looks at what got done to the various Avengers way back in the second issue of the storyline, and he goes, hey, all of this stuff was done using my tech. So, of course, I'm also thinking, hey, there's a mole somewhere. But Peter Parker, on top of all the other shit that he tends to carry along with him, now goes, it's all my fault. When I'm surprised I didn't see Waterworks. And as you guys know, I fucking hate characters that do that, you know? Too much self-recrimination is annoying, you know? I don't need my heroes to have shit-fuck tons of, you know, drama, you know, and self-loathing, which Spider-Man carries with him, which is why I don't
If I could fly around the city and have Bill Tuta armor and battle super guns, I'd be happy as hell.
I don't give a fuck whether you could fly or not. I just don't need somebody who's going to be going, I lost Uncle Ben fucking 20 years ago. I need to do that. Suck my dick, you know? And we're still there. This is why I don't read Spider-Man. But I wanted to see, you know, maybe this story would be really interesting and, you know, maybe it would get me jazzed. Maybe I might start reading it. No, I'm just reading to see how this shit ends and then I'm done. I'm sorry. And fuck you, Dan Slott. This story is, it sucks. It's boring. I don't want to read the last issue, but I need the closure. Okay? I need the closure. So I want to see if it yet remains a complete crap fest, or maybe you might pull it off at the end, and I go, okay, already pulled it out, and I give you like maybe a B or a B minus, you know, because it ain't getting an A, and I might be more than generous to just give you a D.
What if it agreed to blow you in the back alley after school?
If it was a real life Mary Jane doing it, then yes.
No, it's Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'm not enjoying this story, not one bit. It's, aside from laughing at Mysterio, pass. Fucking
and people,
pass on this
and the funny
book.
Thing is, I see people like praising the shit out of this. I'm
they're
like,
fucking high. Well, no, they're still in. Gotta read Spider-Man. You know?
No. The people who I'm talking about are people who don't read Spider-Man and they love this.
Then I don't know what the fuck they're smoking.
Me neither.
I don't. Maybe I'm too jaded because I've been here and done that.
Huh?
But, you know, I tried to be, you know, neutral here. And you know, the fucking second book was just, oh, look, the Avengers got taken out in coordinated attacks. Okay.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, you know what? Fuck you for all the people who have been saying this is better than Avengers vs. X-Men. Fuck you. Not. Avengers vs. X-Men had Cyclops. Respect my authority. It's infinitely better than
anything. Respect my authority.
Actually, both books were fucking garbage. So
whatever.
I'm a fire in my laser.
Anyways, is there anything more to add, Taser?
Yeah. As of right now, I give the storyline in general a 2.3 for the art, because the art's decent. It gets the job done. I don't have any real problem. But the storyline is just, don't pick up the trade. If you're reading this, stop doing it. And if you want to read it, don't. And I'm done.
All right. Well, let's move on to a fan question. From
we have fans?
I guess.
Holy shit.
From Darth Primus. Basically, this came up about, I guess, Wolverine's conversation y'all had on the board about Wolverine healing factor. And first of all, there's several questions. First off, do you think most superheroes wear condoms? I know, I'm pretty sure.
Are we going by the Hancock principle?
Anybody who puts rubber over it. Who we would think.
Hold up, handcuff principle?
There was a deleted scene from Will Smith's Hancock movie where he ejaculated and it busted through the metal roof of his trailer and into space. So.
Not all of them are Superman, though. So.
And it was implied that if he, in fact, did keep it inside the girl, her head would have been blown clean off. And
like,
not in the
like
sexual way.
Mallrats fucking. I don't. I'm sorry. Anyways.
Kapow!
So, I'm pretty sure Cap. I'm pretty sure Cap wears a condom. Tony Stark doesn't. No, maybe he does, because he doesn't
want to. He uses extra mist to cover his pants and armor.
Yeah, he uses, yeah.
No, he's got nanites. They just, you know, find a whatever it is and just say, okay, let's get rid of that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Tony Stark. Wolverine doesn't, because Lord knows he has kids everywhere. Wolverine.
And then he kills them.
Yeah, he kills them, too.
Oh!
Horribly.
He would have nothing to do on Friday nights if he kept them alive. Started wearing condoms, actually.
Yeah, he'll get a chick knocked up and come back 20 years later. Where's the kid? I can kill him.
Hulk doesn't wear them because there's none big enough for that size. I'm pretty sure
actually,
Doctor Strange
did you read
doesn't.
The Hulk, did you read the Hulk .1 issue?
No.
Him and Betty got down and dirty in the street in front of a beaten supervillain.
Were they hooked out?
In Betty mode?
She was Rogue. She was She-Rogue. She was She-Rogue.
Okay. Well, then she could take it. Now, what was interesting was when he was Professor Hulk and she was Betty.
So I think Cyclops definitely uses, as far as
like a hot dog in a hole, or no. Eventually, but first it'd be like a fucking like.
Does Punisher even have sex? Because he's so driven by like his war on crime.
Did he bone? I was under the impression he had sex with that redhead chick.
No, I don't think so. I think Punisher. I think he's too. Must kill people.
He's still married to his wife in his mind. He's still getting revenge.
So he's like Joker. He's asexual.
No. He just doesn't have sex.
Exactly. He's asexual.
Yeah.
No, I think he's never had like a meaning. He's never had like a relationship, but I'm pretty sure he's had sex.
Well, if he does, he doesn't use condoms. Well, maybe he does because he doesn't want to see another kid.
He had sex like once.
Maybe.
I don't know. Who cares? He's creepy.
Captain Britain definitely wears condoms. He's British and on.
Afterwards, he'd put a gun to your head. Whore. Boom.
Look, leave Megan out of this.
Megan is awesome. I don't know. Where?
Wait, who?
Actually, I liked her and Nightcrawler together. That was a relationship.
It was really awkward when they were flirting and she was still with Captain Britain. I thought it was. So what? Now the next question: which superheroes are most likely to get STD? This is fucking easy. Fucking Murdock. That guy is the biggest man whore in the Marvel Universe for a goddamn reason. Matt Murdock.
Wolverine called him a man whore. So if that gives you any perspective on this.
Dude has slept with. How? I mean,
Spider-Man?
In his sleep.
Not as much. Who's he slept with? He didn't sleep with Gwen.
I'd say Tony Stark if he didn't have like some kind of secret like STD cure. Like,
yeah, I'm pretty sure Tony Stark would, but he
like Tylenol, cold flu, and AIDS. Just okay, I'm good.
Would Reed Richards need to wear a condom?
There you go.
Reed Richards.
Because he could literally just pull out whenever he wanted to at will.
No. I'm saying Tony got a pill from Reed Richards. Reed Richards probably got like a. STD cure-all.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere.
Okay.
Like, hey, Reed, I need one of those pills again.
Actually, on the topic of what we're going to do with the female, Matt Murdock has betted the Black Widow before, as well as Elektra and Black Cat and this lawyer lady.
Black Cat?
Yeah. He got security with the Black Cat, despite his supreme jealousy.
Is that an actual cat, or is that just a sound effect?
What the fuck was that? Oh, God, that was good.
So we definitely... Okay, so Black Widow and Matt Murdock are definitely the two... Probably the walking STDs.
No, hold on. Who has Black Widow slept with?
Hawkeye.
Matt and Hawkeye.
Matt Murdock.
She slept with Matt Murdock. That's all you need.
Anybody who says Matt Murdock basically makes them STD city.
Yeah.
And then puts Black Cat in there.
Even before that, she got down with Bucky Barnes.
I'm pretty sure she slept with Steve Rogers at one point.
Nah.
I could be wrong.
Nah. In another universe, that universe with the kids and shit. That was their kid.
No.
At any point where she would have slept with him, Cap was with somebody else.
What about Spider-Woman?
Hawkeye. What about Hawkeye's kind of a man whore?
Mockingbird, Black Widow.
Hawkeye's chased after a few, but the only one he really landed is, aside from, you know, fucking...
What about that chick from Thunderbolts, the psycho, the therapist
Not Songbird, but,
Moonstone?
Yeah. I could see her
sure
having
he
free
Moonstone.
Sex and not caring.
That would pretty be sure. funny. That means he has a thing for chicks with long hair.
Does Doctor Strange count?
Yes. Actually, you know what? I think he has an STD somewhere. The dude is... from my understanding, and maybe this is revisionist history which Taser hates, but Doctor Strange was kind of a player.
Magical Tony Stark.
Yeah. He was an asshole, but he also got women, but he couldn't keep them because he was just a dick versus a charming dude.
There was some
successful playboy.
Yeah. Well, he was an asshole, whereas Tony Stark was charming asshole, whereas Dr. Steven was just a dick who penetrated you.
Ugh.
Thor, can gods have STDs? I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, even so, he doesn't...
Isn't an STD that a god would have? Hercules would probably...
Yes, god, yes. Okay, Hercules and Matt Murdock are the two walking STDs for the male equivalent. We said Black Widow. What about Spider-Woman? Do you think she has any?
Spider-Woman, she's just a tease. She's not really, you know...
That's true.
She's much more of a tease than she is a straight up, like, spread them.
None of the X-Men. What about Psylocke?
Well, let's see. There was Worthington. There was Phantom X. Phantom X is French, too, so he could have some kind of crazy shit.
Yeah, but that was after. So,
French.
Still happened. Yeah,
no. What about your boy Moon Knight?
Moon Knight, he doesn't really get girls. He scares them. Well, he's only really had one girl. He tried to land Echo before the series ended, but that didn't pan out too well.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what? For all his like talking and shit, Cyclops has landed a lot of women.
They've all been the same incarnation of his dead wife.
But they're different women. there was Emma, there's Jean, there's Madeline, there's
I'm pretty sure
Psylocke was into him at one point. The British version.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
She flirted.
But no sex.
Jean handled that. I gotta remember that. But they never did the do. Cyclops was always about Jean.
And then Madeline, and then Jean, and then Madeline, and then Jean, and then Emma.
And speaking of revisionist history, notice. When we're looking at AVX and they're talking about the Phoenix and they're talking about all the shit that, you know, the Phoenix did and will do and blah, blah, blah. And they keep saying Jean. And everybody knows, unless, you know, we're kind of ignoring the fact that Jean was never Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
It was Madeline, right?
No, it was
the Phoenix Force had created a clone. And that was when that died, and that Jean Grey had stayed at the bottom of the where the originally crashed.
Before, with the moment that Phoenix arose.
Because if you read Dark Phoenix on it, because if you read Dark Phoenix on its own, it's basically Jean Grey.
Ooh, Black Bolt! He just landed like five women in one issue.
Does he actually sleep with them?
Just because they're all alien women.
Alien chick.
They're all technically his wife.
Isn't one of them a horse?
Oh, he has like a harem.
Isn't one of them a horse?
Can we count Gamora in that too then? Because she did what? Nova? Or at least, yeah, I think she did Nova. Most likely did Thanos. Probably did Adam Warlock.
Death is a whore.
Who else?
I don't know. Any more suggestions, guys?
Ooh, Johnny Storm.
Yeah, the
dude got around.
Yeah, this dude got around. Maybe not within the superhero community, but ordinary chicks.
No, he played up his fame to the maximum. Okay, he got laid. Yeah,
so did Star Fox. Hell, Star Fox got a cute.
Yeah, but he was a rapist technically.
He was not a rapist. Making women feel good.
Fine, he was an alleged rapist. He is
not rape. Okay, that's just somebody doing something really good and intelligent.
Bullshit.
That was one of the funniest fucking stories I ever read. Star Fox got quite
What about the Wasp? I mean, I know she was just with Pym, but...
She was pretty loyal through and through.
Despite that she...
Yeah, but then after they divorced, she was free for a while. But I don't remember seeing her... No, wasn't she with Black Knight? At least they were sniffing together, I think.
Who?
I know for a fact that Pink Pym got around a little bit.
Wait, Black who?
Black Knight.
You don't remember the Black Knight?
I don't. I guess I must have missed that story.
It's before his time, Taser. Before his time.
Oof! Nick Fury! Dude got laid like a mother.
He's been around since 1944 and didn't go into hypergenic sleep. That dude.
But then he also hooked up with the Jungle Fever chick and had Mark and his new Marcus kid. And then he had what was her face? The one from Secret Warriors, the one who we always used to talk to, and then she was Madame Hydra. And then,
Nick Fury.
Nick Fury got around.
Yeah.
He was also a dick to women, so.
He's Nick fucking Fury.
Oh! Namor!
No.
Namor's a huge man whore.
How? Name. Name some.
He nailed that fish lady in Uncanny X-Men, and then he's trying to get... He nailed Emma Frost.
He did?
Yep.
Nuh-uh.
Not now, but he did bet. There was a whole secret history of
time
with him. It's revisionist shit. And then there, he had like two or three wives, I'm pretty sure. Or at least one wife, but he had girlfriends.
Marina and then, no, that was, Marina was it. Namora, well, his cousin was...
Oh, Jesus, cousin. Oh, God.
Yeah, his cousin was a clone of his mom. I remember that shit. And, what the fuck? I think... Shit.
Fine, but even if he isn't one, he still acts like one. He acts like huge man.
Oh, he's always hitting on Sue. He's always trying to get in Sue's
pants.
Yeah,
but he's never tapped it. And
he's the man whore for trying to do it, though. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I think, if anything, he's like Ben Grimm. He's been one to carry it for us for a long time.
There was a moment just in the last Uncanny X-Men where it's like a woman was like leading him on. He's like, "You want to do an activity later? This is activity involved nudity. It would involve nudity. Then Namor would be interested." And it's like, really, dude? Not even like a struggle or something?
Wait, Kitty Pryde's not dating Iceman?
Yes, she is. What? Well, it's going to happen eventually.
She's broke.
It took them that long?
She broke up with Pete. Right. Because she was with Colossus, and Colossus was dead, and she wouldn't...
Hey, Bobby made the first move.
Yeah.
No, but she broke up with Colossus a long time ago.
Only before the schism, and then they got back together temporarily when she came back, but then he took on the Juggernaut, and...
Yeah, wasn't she doing some guy named... he was the third Thunderbird or something like that?
Warbird? No. Is that it? The guy from X-Force?
Something like that. So he was she was with some guy who took
All right, well, whatever. There you go. Matt Murdock, Nick Fury, biggest whores, walking STDs. And not a lot of superheroes wear condoms because they have their own special abilities that keep them from preventing them from needing to wear condoms.
Out of all of them, I'd rather have Tony Stark's ability to not catch something than Wolverine's ability.
He uses extremis to shield his penis when it becomes time to upload the data.
A sterilization field.
I think Wolverine's secondary mutant power is to have children. That's his steal.
Yeah.
He looks at a woman, boom, pregnant.
You're going to carry my child, girl.
And I'm
going to
kill them
here
20 years later. I'll
be back in 20 years. For what?
You'll know. Blood sex. You know, because we saw that's what happened between him and, what's his name, his wife.
Yeah.
First night out.
Who, Jean?
No, Moira. No, was it Yahiko? Not, what was her name? Mariko. Mariko.
Oh, the one who gave her Dakin? Or Dakin? Or
no,
whatever.
Was it? I don't, fuck it.
That
was Itsu.
Who was Mariko then? Mariko's Lady Deathstrike.
No.
Yes.
Mariko's Lady Deathstrike? When the fuck did that happen?
I think so.
Mariko's not Lady Deathstroke.
Then
you're talking about the one in Wolverine, the one dating the Silver Samurai guy?
That's
right?
The one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
She's not dating him, she's his cousin.
No, she's dating the Silver
she's
Samurai.
She's dating him.
Or maybe she's dating another guy but also in league with the Silver Samurai. Whatever.
The Silver Samurai was her cousin because I remember he was trying to there was some bit with the Yakuza and he was trying to force her to do something which would have screwed her up, and then his family could have taken it over and blah, 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 blah. And what's this chick? The Green Hydra chick was involved in that shit.
Viper.
Fuck. But no, she's not dating him. That's her cousin. It might be. Wait, don't we have a new Silver Samurai?
Yeah, as a teenage genius kid.
Okay, yeah, so the original is Mariko's cousin.
All right, well, let's end it right there.
Do we have to?
Yes.
We're having so much fun, though.
Episode, ladies and gentlemen, twitter.com/Warriors3PCast, the Warriors3@gmail.com to contact us. Also, look for my new review blog about called Iggy's Indies coming soon. Instead of doing another podcast, I'm going to be basically reviewing any non-Big Two superhero book that tickles my fancy. So there you go.
He's reading a lot of Archie comics, folks.
So he likes his fancy tickled. Men.
I'm going to kick
you. He likes to start at the tip and then work his way anyway.
We'll see y'all next week for episode number 104.
Take care. Call Iggy for a good time. I'm